And I thought, wow, that's pretty bad. But you'll see that coming up on the 17th. And he goes through great lengths to talk about some things. So Genesis chapter number 2, we want to make sure that we can stand in this crooked, perverse nation with some marriages that are going to shine for Jesus. Amen. Genesis 2, verse 21. Read with me, starting in verse 21. Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Amen. By the way, if you take away from one, it stops being a whole. It becomes a fraction. And that is the thought process right there. Notice what Adam says there in verse 23. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. So that's a complete package there. You tear that up and you're going to tear up a whole lot of other things. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and read with me verse number 15. Here we go. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's what we want to do. We want to shine as lights in this world, in the myriad of things that God has called us to do. This particular one is marriage. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Help us tonight as we discuss this area. And Lord, give us more information and more wisdom and more knowledge on how we could fulfill your will in our lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless in a marvelous way. Thank you for the testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Talking about standing in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, or standing for biblical marriage against botched marriages. Again, standing for our Christian culture against a crooked culture. There's so many things that we talked about here, and we're going to try to look at seven things. We won't finish for the end of this year, but those seven things are this: marriage, morality, money, movies, magazines, music, and media. Those are the things in the world that the devil is trying to inundate us with and shape our thinking. By the way, propaganda, that's the way they get you to buy products. When you go into the store, you're normally looking for that which is familiar to you. Now, if 7-Up has been promoted to you, you're going to get 7-Up. If Coke has been promoted to you, you're going to get Coke. Amen. If Nike brand has been promoted to you, guess what you're going to get? Nike, unless you have your own preferences. So the whole goal behind propaganda is to sell something to you. Well, the devil knows that. And he takes control of the media, and he pumps it at you and pumps it at you and pumps it at you. By the way, have you ever seen a commercial portraying a product that tells you the end result of that product, i.e. alcohol? The only thing you see on alcohol is Mothers Against Drunk Driving, things of that nature, telling you the bad nature of alcohol. But when you see a Budweiser or a Bud Dumber commercial, how do they make it look? Having a good time, Corona, what do they show? Amen. On the beach, showing their nakedness, amen. Bud Light, what do they show? Athletes, Miller Light, Bud Light, all these things. So they're trying to pump a mentality to you, say, it's okay to do this. It's all right. As a matter of fact, if you do this, you'll look like this guy. Or you look like this girl. And they try to pump that mentality to you. So they try to sell the liquor. And so children are thinking, it's not so bad to drink liquor, because if I drink liquor, I'll look like this guy. Praise God, Steph Curry's trying to sell water. Amen. So, and Klay Thompson, milk. Amen. At least something helpful for a change. Amen. LeBron James with Sprite. Praise God that a lot of these athletes don't do the beer commercials, because what would happen if they did? All the children that look up to these athletes would be trying to get that liquor. I'm so glad that they haven't gone that far yet. Amen. But if they go that far, then all the young people that admire these athletes are going to try to drink that liquor or drink that whatever it is. And so Satan knows that. And so he's controlling media. He's controlling the magazines. He's controlling the money, the movies, the morality. All of that is being pumped through Hollywood oftentimes, unfortunately. even, yes, marriage. What is TV saying marriage is okay to do now? What is TV saying marriage is okay to do? Man and man. What else are they saying it's okay?
Women and women.
Women and women. Don't have to get married at all. Divorce is fine. If you don't like it, just chuck them to the side and get somebody else. What is that? Adultery is okay. Cheating is okay. A little lie here to save your marriage is okay. And that mentality is being pumped to, guess who? Your children and my children. There's a society out there that has not a clue what a biblical marriage should be. Now think about it. Did you, when you were growing up? I didn't. Praise God, my parents didn't get divorced, but I didn't know what a biblical marriage was like. So I married my wife unsaved. And guess how we started off? The same way my parents did and the same way her parents did. Unsaved, not knowing anything but the world's philosophy. The one thing that we did know was this: till death do we part. She ain't leaving me and I ain't leaving her. We made that agreement before we got married. Now, I know a lot of people make that agreement before they get married and they change. Somebody say amen. Unfortunately. But one thing I said, look, my parents never divorced. My grandmother and grandma, I didn't see it in my family. And I said, it is not going to happen. I said, if you don't believe in the permanency of marriage, now I wasn't saved. But I know one thing, I didn't want to hop around from person to person. And I didn't want her and my kids. And this one, I said, look, I don't want anybody else raising my kids. Now, I wasn't saved, but I said, I don't want nobody else raising my kids. And so if you go, which you ain't going, I'm keeping them kids. Nobody raising my kids. Amen. I was adamant about that when I got married. I said, look, if you don't agree with this, we cannot go to that altar. Everybody didn't feel that way. And hence, we've got children caught up in the crossfire. We've got parents caught up in the crossfire. We've got grandparents in the crossfire. And we've got just a mess out there. And folks, it's up to you and I to show what a biblical marriage should look like, among whom we have to shine as lights in the world. Amen. Make room, that Pontes are coming in. Amen.
Spit roll.
Watch out. Get the napkins out. Amen. And so we've got to stand for the biblical marriage. And again, my intent is not to make anyone feel bad if you have been involved in a bad marriage. Never, never, never is that my intent. But I do want us to know that we can and we have to stand for marriage. And if you've been remarried, praise God for you. Stand and stay. Stand and stay. Stand and stay. So we must stand for biblical marriage that God intended for one man and one woman for life, against the botched marriages that are out there in the world. We talked about the statistics before and how they're slightly higher. And I was absolutely blown away when I found out Baptists were at the top of the list. We talked about some of the reasons for that. Maybe they're unsaved, they're unsatisfied, unwilling, unequally yoked, unbalanced, uncommitted, unqualified, and many, many more not in the will of God. Botched means it's something that is bad or ruined or something that's been carelessly put together. By the way, if you have any children of child-marrying age, or you're going to talk to your children, you tell them to make sure they don't quickly put together a marriage. One of the definitions or synonyms for botch is something that was carelessly put together in a makeshift way. Sometimes I believe that we have some young men that so desperately want to get married that they'll just take the first girl that comes along. And sometimes the ladies are so desperate to get a husband, they'll take the first thing that comes along. And we've got to make sure that we don't let our children get involved in it. And I know we can't stop them. I understand that. But as much as you can, talk to them about the importance of finding God's will and not their will and not the mom and daddy's will either. Amen. Because when we got married, I'll be honest with you, my dad, hey, Carmen's a keeper. But mama, I was mama's boy. Mama's like, jury's out. Me inspect her a while. My dad's like, yep, she's a keeper. Yep, daughter-in-law already. Mom was over here like, taking my boy. What do we know about her? Now, like, mom, we need everything that we need to know about her. She will be your future daughter-in-law. That's all. But mom was like, look, son, are you sure? Are you sure about this? You're pretty young. You're 20. She's 19. You guys are kids. I said, I'm sure, Mom. I'm sure. As sure as I could be at 20 years old. Don't get no ideas, boy. But Mom was concerned. Parents, we ought to be concerned. because this world is pressing against our young people. And if they marry someone that's been pressed against and has got that mindset, it's not going to be good for our young people when they get married. But there's a society out there of botched marriages that's trying to push against our children and trying to give them a thought process. And we've got to give them Genesis 2, 21 through 24, how Adam was brought to her as a one whole unit. So looking at the marriages that are out there and the botched marriages that are out there, we began looking at three things, or no, how many things was this? Four? Four things that we have to watch out for when it comes to our marriages. One of the first things that we said that we've got to stick it out and shine through love. By the way, when it comes to love, I know Pastor White thinking about Tina Turner now. What's love got to do with it? Love has got a whole lot to do with it. Love's got a whole lot to do with it. By the way, let me ask, do you have to love someone to be married? Do you have to love someone to be married? Because there's a whole lot of arranged marriages in the Bible. It'll help. But you don't. What do you have to have in a marriage? Commitment. Commitment. Do you know the one thing that keeps you and I saved is God's faithful commitment to his word? Now, his love is there, too, because God is love. But his faithful commitment to his word is what keeps you and I saved. And we've got to have faithful commitment when it comes to this thing called marriage. Otherwise, we are not going to make it even a little bit. Amen. So let's get into some things here and trust the Lord to work in our midst. And I said this. Uh-oh. I'm missing that page in my notes, so I didn't say that at all. Uh-oh. G2, do me a favor. Go in my office and look in my bag and look for a sheet like that that's got love on it. Yes, because page 2 is missing of my notes. Amen. Now, do I know what it says? Yes, but it sounds better on paper. Amen. But anyway, what we're talking about was love. We began to look at some things that may hurt as we're going through that. And I said this, that there's three times that we have to be careful of in our marriages. Number one was this. That's the time of month that God starts preparing us for. And sometimes ladies don't understand that. We don't understand it. And then the second thing that comes after the time of month is the time of life that we've got to love through. More marriages that you hear of that are breaking up after the kids are gone, oftentimes because the time of life sets in where the wife doesn't understand herself and the husband doesn't understand, and they get mad at each other. And then the third thing was transitions. When the kids go, when the jobs change, the second career start, when I got to go out and get my second wind, if you would, when the kids are gone now and I got to start my honeymoon all over with my husband that I don't know or my wife that I don't know. Those things begin to set in. And then I start thinking, wow, I don't really know this person. My wife and I, just the opposite. We flip flop. We didn't have kids for 20 years. We got 20 years to know each other. And then kids came along afterwards. The average couple doesn't have 20 years to get to know each other. How many of y'all had 20 years to know each other? Most time kids came in. Jenny, how old were you when you got your first kid?
We were married for 2 years.
2 years. Andrew, how long were you married?
2 years.
2 years? Rose, how long were you married before you got your first kid? 20? You're in your 20s probably, right?
Yes.
Amen. 20s. Ms. Holmes, about 20 in your 20s?
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years? Everybody got the 2 year thing going. Church, Katie, how old are you?
We just had our third anniversary when he was born.
So third, okay. And Kirshma, how old are you when you had your first one? 20, you're in your 20s, because you're only in your 30s now, so you're young.
You said Chris?
No.
What?
Kirshma.
Yeah. let's see. We knew each other, about 2 years.
2 years, amen. Brother, for you, 2 years?
Married, year and a half.
Year and a half? See, all y'all got busy quick. Me and my wife got busy, but nothing happened. Amen. And so 20 years, and we got a chance to spend 20 years together. So I knew her inside and outside. For the majority of you, that didn't happen. Can you just imagine Kids come right off. And how much attention do kids need when they come? All of it. They're not waiting. When the diaper got to be changed, they are not going on the back burner. When they need to be fed, they are not going. I don't care how much you want to give them. When baby starts crying, you got to stop and you got to go feed baby. Amen. And so many of us didn't get a chance. And you think at 20 years, now the kids are gone. Do you really know that person the way you thought you knew them? Because 20 years have elapsed. And now the kids are gone. And so when that time of the time of life sets in and the wife starts going through those changes and things that she has, she no longer has. And all the things that chemically begin to go like this. And it's a roller coaster. And you look at her, you're like, who are you? And she said, I don't know. Tell me. And you can't tell her. And so those marriages begin to, and so those are three critical times that God prepares us for, that time of month, and then that time of life, and then those transitions that happen in life. And if we don't have love, we're not going to make it. The second thing is this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we got to have love. We understand that. We got to shine in love. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And the second thing that we have to shine in is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And once we read that area, I'm going to tell you what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go down to verse number, let's go to number 1. Amen. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saved? Who knows where I'm going with that?
Divorce.
Do you not know that the saints judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. So is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. If I'm saved, should I actually be taking my spouse to court? The one that I said I love? To an unsaved person to deliberate between us? Verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. The second thing that we need to stand amongst this crooked and perverse nation is not just in love, but in long-suffering. Long-suffering. Long-suffering means to patiently endure or to suffer long, if you would, to go through something. He's giving here an explanation of Christians taking each other to heathen laws and how that is not right. And so one of the things that you and I have to shine is that thing called long-suffering. What is it that is difficult to be long-suffering through in a marriage? What is it that's difficult to be long-suffering through in a marriage?
Being ill.
What was that? Being
Somebody's
being ill all the time. That is tough. And by the way, it's tough not on the person that is having to be the caregiver, but it's tough on the person that is ill. One of the hardest things for me is when I had my rotator cuff surgery and it was my right arm and I could not do anything. I was totally dependent on Carmen for everything. Man, that was so frustrating for me. But it was equally frustrating for her because she had to stop everything she was doing to cater to me. And we've got three kids. Amen. What else is something that's is difficult to be long-suffering through in a marriage? Rose?
When someone
says they're sorry to do it again, so abusing you, so to speak. Yes, Kelly?
A tragedy.
A tragedy that happens.
Death of a child.
That could be devastating. Mm-hmm. Course around.
It's in the vows you take for richer or poorer.
It is. But it still doesn't make it easy. And that's what we're talking about. Because some people jump ship and they say, I'm tired of suffering long. It's over, buddy. I'm tired of this. I've had enough. As Rose said, you keep doing the same thing over again. As Brother Kelly said, you have felt sorry for yourself about the loss of this child, or it's your fault that my child died, or whatever. And people just, they say, I'm tired of this. I want a new relationship. I want out of this. Give me something else. And by the way, Brother Daniel said, we said, till death do we part. Did we not? Now, how many of you envisioned certain things in your marriage? When I got married, I envisioned certain things. I envisioned kids. But I did not envision waiting 20 years for those kids. I envisioned, honey, it's going to be in my, that one right there. Thank you. I didn't envision hair loss in my marriage. Now, when I'm talking about hair loss, I'm not talking about the hair that went off. You don't see it. I'm talking about all of my hair, period. That was not something that I had on the books. This is it. Chronic male baldness, I didn't mind that at all. If it recedes a little bit here, I'm fine with that. If it recedes a little bit right here, I'm fine with that. But when my eyebrows went out and my little bitty mustache that I did have went out, and then when my hair started getting spotty, I didn't put that on the calendar agenda for my marriage. And guess what? I praise God that she didn't marry me for my hair, because it's gone. It's gone. And when you marry someone and you have this agenda of certain things, but you don't have an agenda on certain other things, guess what? That can be tough on a marriage. It can be devastating on a marriage. I have relatives now that are paraplegics. And if you don't plan for things like that, guess what? That can be long suffering. When I go through marriage counseling, I normally tell folks, hey, are you ready for dismemberment? When a member loses an arm or loses a leg, or are you ready for impotency? Or are you ready for the fact that your wife may not be able to bear children to you? Or are you ready for your husband to be impotent and cannot produce anymore? Are you ready for these things? Are you ready if he loses an eye? Are you ready if something happens to him and he can no longer work? And now you've got to assume the mantle of the finances. Are you ready for this? If the child dies, are you ready? And oftentimes, guess what? We want Cinderella. We want the shoe, the glass slipper. Is that Cinderella? Yeah. That's what we want. It's been a while since I had the fairy tales, amen. And we're not prepared for that oftentimes. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times people don't like my counseling that I give them. Amen, Pastor White? Because it's not pretty. But guess what? Life is not pretty. And I'm trying to present real life scenarios that this might happen. And so you're dealing with this idea of long suffering. Notice what it says there in verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. That word utterly means completely and commonly. Paul said, this was known from you. Long suffering. What about if your mate has some bad habits? They throw socks on the floor. Or they throw garbage on the floor. Praise God for my wife. The bad habit that she had was popping gum. And I told you all about that many times. She nipped that in the butt right away. Every now and again, faith will do it. I look in the rearview mirror. Don't even think about it. Don't torture your husband with that. No. But it's something that I don't like. Is it a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. I just don't like it. But guess what? I got things that she doesn't like. And I have to deal with those. And we got to be long-suffering through that together. The kids got things that we don't like. She's like, what? And so, nonetheless, we have to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation. Amen. And so, in long suffering, they're taking people to the law in divorce when we said for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness, in health. Sam Davis goes as far as he said, if you didn't say till death do you part, you need to renew your vows. He said, because there will become something that will challenge you to make you say that I didn't say that one. I didn't say that one. Amen. And so we've got to shine in love. We've got to shine in long suffering. Give you a third one here. We've got to shine in limits. Go down to verse number 12. Notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I would not be brought under the power of any. By the way, when he says all things, what does he mean? Does he mean all things, so I can break the law?
No, all things.
All things that are lawful. All things are what I have the capability to do. By the way, do we have all of the ability to drive here within the confines of the law? Yes. The minute you break the law, what happens? You get a ticket. So when Paul is saying all things, he's not talking about everything and everything. He's talking about all the things that I'm allowed to do. So he said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I would not be bought under the power of any. And so when he says expedient, he means advantageous. And we have to shine not just in love and in long-suffering in our marriages, but in limits. We should know what we should and should not do in our marriages. Am I right? How am I going to know what I should and should not do in my marriage? Number one, what the Bible says. Now, this is what's lawful. But now, what about the things that may not be expedient that are not covered in here? How am I going to know what I should and should not do in my marriage?
Conversation.
Ah, getting to know my spouse. What can I do within my marriage that I may be allowed to do, but it's really not the best thing for me to do? Limits. What limits might be bad to exceed in a biblical marriage? Because we want to shine. What limits might be bad to exceed? How about keeping in contact with an old flame that I used to know? Am I allowed to do it? He says no. Got the hammer back and said, yes, sir. Exactly. But now, is there anything legally wrong with having the contact of an old flame? Legally wrong. No. Nothing is wrong with it. But why do I need to have it?
Morally, it's wrong.
But I'm not doing anything with it because that's the justification that's going to come. I'm not doing anything with Sally's number. It's just there.
Making your wife jealous.
Wow. Boom. There we go. Boom, there we go. Notice what it says in verse 12. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. It's not advantageous in my marriage. And so as a result, that's a limit that I've got to curtail. I remember I was going through some of my old photos, and I came across all these high school girls that I knew. And I looked at them, and what happened, honey? Remember what happened? Those high school pictures of those girls I had? I chucked them. I'm married. Why do I need them? Well, I want to see what they would look like. For what? I got the one that I want. This is the pick. This is the cream of the crop. This is the creme de la creme.
They don't look like that no more.
And you're right. Amen. My dad saw one of them. He said, ooh, Greg, guess who I saw? And she looked like this. I was like, oh, don't tell me. Amen. I made the right choice years ago. Amen. But it's not advantageous. Having contacts of people that are of the opposite sex, it's not advantageous to me. What is my spouse going to think of that? What would a spouse think of that?
What? Safety net.
Safety net, throwback, yes?
Contrast with the world's thinking. The world's thinking says there's no issue here. Mm-hmm.
Famous last words. And then what happens when the marriage breaks up? They go back to the one they had in the back pocket. Well, how'd you know about that? Well, I saw that picture and I saw that contact number. And I figured I'd just call you up. How you doing? Well, I thought you were married. Well, we broke up. What am I saying here? There's some limits there. Contacts of the opposite sex we really shouldn't have. Photos we really don't need. Here's one. You go, Joy. Amen. Let's bring it home now. Non-necessary emails and texts to the opposite sex. Notice I said non-necessary emails to the opposite sex. Non-necessary. Why do I need to ask them how their day is going? And so I'm just being, we gotta be careful of these. There's so much Satan is trying to push on our marriages. And like Serge says, well, there's nothing a problem unless you're going to make a problem out of it. Everything's wrong with it. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Is that a person that you're kind of trying to court? Get rid of it. But the mentality and the methodology is, it's okay. Just don't make an issue out of it. And then at the opportune time, Satan's going to bring it up as an issue because you're going to be dissatisfied. Something's going to happen with that time of life or that time of month or those transitions, or something's going to happen with that long suffering where you about had all you can have, and bing, that number's going to come up. I never had that problem with them before. They never responded to me like that before. Yeah, exactly. This never happened when I was with them before. And there you go. There you go. We need to shine in our love, shine in our long suffering, shine in our limits. There's certain things that are according to the world standards. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not advantageous to me. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. This is not going to benefit me. It's not going to help me. By the way, oftentimes when I'm going to interface with the opposite sex on the email, when it's business related, I will always put my wife in there so she knows exactly what I'm doing. What does that do? Builds trust. What else does it do? Removes appearance of evil. Also remove. Well, your husband texts me, and look, I got the text, and you don't know the innuendo behind that is that he likes me. Yeah, get out of here. No. Folks, the devil is real. And he really wants to destroy our marriages. He doesn't want us to shine. He wants us to look like everybody else. Everybody said, there's your Christian marriage. Or I said, there's the Baptist marriage, the ones that get the most divorces. Amen. Give me this last one, and we're going to quit. Not only do we need to shine in our love and shine in our long suffering, but then shine in our limits, but then shine as lights for life. Go to Matthew 19 and verse 6. Matthew 19 and verse 6. Among whom we shine. It's like, by the way, the world botched marriages say, you know, it's okay. Just throw your marriage away. I don't care if you got 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 12 years, 30 years, 40 years. Just throw it away. It doesn't matter. It's okay. You can find another one. No, you can't. No, you can't. Shine for life. Notice what he says, Matthew 19, 6. Wherefore they are no more, what? Twain, but how many is it? One flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Shine for life, until death do we part, and rich or poor, sickness or health, good times and bad times. Matthew 10, 9, he says the same way. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What might be some things that may be difficult to shine for life in our marriage through? What kind of situations may be difficult to live through for life? Sickness. Brother Kelly talked about the death of a child. I have a brother that died at 10 hours of living. And so I don't have a brother. My mother doesn't have a son. You say something, Ms. White? Andrew?
Or infidelity.
Infidelity. It's tough to live through. Can it happen in a Christian marriage? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. That's why we're talking about these contexts. Yes, it can. And with the way Satan is pushing down on us, he's making it that much easier for the Christian to say, well, it's okay because look at them. And they said, they're a Christian. But he says, among whom you shine as lights. My wife and I went through 20 years of no kids. That was tough. You know what's one of the toughest things about that? Being a Christian that's trying to walk for God. You're constantly asking, is it something that I've done? Because everybody else seems to get pregnant with no problem. Even people who don't love God. And you're constantly, Lord, is it something that we've done? Is it something that I've done that you're not blessing us with children? You said the fruit of the fruit of the loom. The fruit of the womb is the reward, amen? And so you're asking yourself, what did I do? What did we do that you won't bless us with children? If you said, you know, our children are an heritage of the Lord, and that's tough to live through, especially when you've done all you can do. I mean, we got anointed with oil. We fasted. We prayed. We looked at every biblical character in the Bible and brought that before the Lord and said, you did it for Hannah. You did it for Zacharias. You did it for Manoah and his wife. Lord, you did it for these guys. Why aren't you doing it for us? What's wrong with us? And sometimes God doesn't have to give you an answer. And sometimes he's not going to give you an answer. But every Mother's Day that rolled around was increasingly worse for my wife. all these mothers being joyful with their children, and she can't have one. And it was hard. But you know, we didn't say, well, yeah, I'm gonna chuck you and get another one.
After 7 years, I was
content. After 7 years, you were content?
Remember after 7 years? After salvation.
After salvation, amen. And so we finally just said, amen, Lord, if you don't want us to have kids, we won't have any kids. What about birth defects? That's something to be contended with through life. You don't plan on having a child with birth defects, and then you have one. Hey, you don't plan on having a grandchild with birth defects, and then you have one. You don't plan on having a child born with this or that or the other, and then it happens. Those things are hard to shine through, but guess what? God allows those things to happen to the Christian just as well to the non-Christian. And he said, Christian, I want you to shine through these things that happen in your life. And I want you to shine for life through rich or poor, for goodness, good times and bad times, sickness and hell. I want you to shine. I want you to shine in your limits. And it may be tough to shine through some of the things that we have to contend with. But guess what? Sometimes what if the spouse doesn't want to do the things that we know they ought to do, like cut off the old contacts, like cut off and throw the photos out. Be contented with not having children. What if the spouse doesn't want to be long-suffering in this area or that area, or not loving during the time of life or the transitions of life or the time of month? What if they don't want to be that way? Then what can we do? We still have to stand. And we still have to commit them to the Lord. Why? God's going to ask me how I stood. He's not going to ask me how somebody else stood. He's going to ask me how I shone as a light, not how they shone as a light. And so even through those difficulties in the Christian marriages, we're going to have to go through almost identical to the same things that unsaved marriages go through. Back to Philippians 2:15. And we're closed. Jesus said, though, Paul told the Philippians, verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm convinced that Paul is letting us know that no matter what it is, no matter what happens, that we ought not murmur and we ought not dispute. The reason being is so that we can be blameless and harmless and be as the sons of God, and we can be without rebuke, and we can be in the midst, right in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, and you and I and our marriages can shine as lights. Everybody is looking for that good marriage. I am fortunate and blessed that my parents never divorced. Not all of us are that fortunate. And so for those of us who have not been that fortunate, guess what? We have to be able to shine now in our current marriage so that somebody else can see that and that they can see that it can happen. Are we going to struggle in our marriages? Yes. I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. You're a sinner and your spouse is a sinner. So guess what? We're going to have problems. But when we take these vows, God wants us to shine. Adam said, this is flesh of my flesh. And we've got to shine in love, shine in long-suffering, shine in limits, and shine for life. Why? The world needs to see godly marriages against these botched marriages that are out there. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Help us, Lord, to be able to shine in our marriages. Lord, we know it's not going to be easy. We know that marriage is tough because there are two sinners that are joining together. Lord, we thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for the marriages that have stood the test of times, that are here, that are represented amongst us. Lord, we thank you, though, for those as well that tried to make it a go, Lord, but had a spouse that maybe was not as cooperative as they should have been. Thank you for those that are here and that are single, that are looking to see what the will of God is for their life. And Lord, I pray that you would work in each and every one of our lives, that our marriages, and Lord, even if we've been remarried, might be that which blesses and shines as a light. Lord, we know the world is looking to see. And Lord, help us to be without rebuke, and Lord, without murmuring, without disputing against our mates in front of this crooked and perverse nation. But help us to shine as lights as you continue to grant us another year of marriage. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Bless now in the ladies' time and our prayer time, that you may get all praise, honor, and glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. This is what we're going to do. Ladies are going to be coming up front here. Pastor White, if we could get that partition, just bring it around so the ladies.